Well, it was a disappointing end to really a magical run for your Eagles. Another magical run for your Eagles. They fell to the Saints in New Orleans in the divisional round, 20-14, led 14-0, scoring touchdowns in their first two drives. But then they got like 99 yards the rest of the way, and the Saints just took it after that. I got the Hall of Famer himself at WIP and NBC Sports Philadelphia, Ray Dittinger, on the line with me right now to break it down. Good morning, Ray. I watched your entire postgame show last night at NBC Sports Philadelphia, and one of the things that you led off with was you called it a missed opportunity by the Eagles. Why do you think it was a missed opportunity?
I think the game was there to be won, even though they were underdogs, and even though the Saints, everybody knows their history, postseason success in that building with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. All of that said, they had a 14-0 lead, and the Saints were really struggling. The Saints looked like a team that was rusty. They looked like the team that had really struggled to generate offense the last month of the season. And the Eagles jumped up 14-0 on them and were driving, actually, on that next possession to maybe stretch that lead and let it get away. You know, Nick Foles threw a ball that was intercepted, underthrew a pass, was intercepted by Lattimore. The Saints got it, drove it back down the field, and scored a touchdown, got back in the game. And from that point on, the Saints kind of owned it. But I had the feeling, and I think a lot of people watching that game had the feeling, probably the Eagles had the feeling, that the game was sort of in their hands, and they let it slip away.
You mentioned the first Foles interception that really kind of started the momentum swing for the Saints, but there are many other plays, too. What was a key player moment for you that kind of turned, that you think turned things around for New Orleans?
Well, I think the fake punt play was a big play in that drive. And I give Sean Payton, the coach, credit. It was a pretty gutsy call at that spot. But they had fourth and one, and they elected to go with a fake punt play. And it didn't fool the Eagles, because the Eagles didn't go with they didn't put their kicking team on the field. They left their defense out there because they knew the Saints had demonstrated a willingness to run a fake punt out of that situation before. They didn't catch the Eagles by surprise, but they just executed it better. They got a really good push for their offensive line. They picked up the first down, and then they went on down, finished the drive, and got the touchdown pass that got them back in the game. But that was a big momentum turner. The interception that Foles threw started it, and then the gutsy fourth down fake punt play, I think, continued that drive. And once the Saints were back in the game, then he had a feeling that this was going to be a long day.
You know, Ray, I'm struggling with this next one to decide who it's more on. Maybe it's equally for both. But, you know, the offense had the first two drives, which were incredible, and then went silent pretty much the rest of the way. They couldn't stay on the field. And the defense only gave up 20 points, but they were awful on third downs. The Saints were 8 of 15. Who would you put this game more on, the offense or the defense?
I would probably say the offense, because the defense, you're right. The defense gave up, in the second half, the third down conversions, 6 out of 8, and a lot of them were long. A lot of them, they had third and 10s, they had a third and 16 that they hit on that one monster drive that seemed to go the whole length of the field and basically ate up the whole third quarter. But, you know, the offense just couldn't get anything going. I mean, after the interception, after the first interception, the Eagles had 7 possessions the rest of the game. They only gained 81 yards on 71 possessions, and they only averaged 3 yards a play. You know, and Nick Foles, after his hot start, was 10 for 22 after that. So I would say the offense had some possessions and had some opportunities to maybe get some more points, certainly take some more time off the clock. But those last 3 quarters, it really became kind of a ball possession game, and the ball possession was purely on the part of the Saints. I mean, 32 of the last 45 minutes, the Saints had the ball, and the defense couldn't get them off the field.
How much do you think the loss of Brandon Brooks factored into the offense's ineptitude the rest of the way?
I think that was a big loss, because Brooks, he's a Pro Bowl player for a reason. I mean, he's really good. And after he went out, not that the Eagles, I thought, expected to have a whole lot of success running the ball against the Saints defense, because the Saints defense is pretty stout. I mean, they're number 2 in the league against the run. But early in the game, the Eagles were having some success running the ball. And after Brooks suffered his injury and he left the game, then they weren't able to run the ball hardly at all. And in the second half, it became totally a passing game, and the Saints had all the answers there too. But, I mean, the Eagles lost some players along the way yesterday. They had a couple guys got hurt and came back in the game. But I think the loss of Brooks, who tore his Achilles and was out the rest of the day, definitely impacted at the offense because after he left, they couldn't seem to move the ball at all on the ground.
There's a decent chance, Ray, that and we've talked about his legend in many of our conversations before, but there's a decent chance that Nick Foles' last pass as an Eagle is an interception, which is rather unfortunate. How do you think he did last night overall?
I thought that this was not his best game. For the Eagles to go down there and win, to beat the Saints in the Dome, and to outduel Drew Brees, Nick was going to have to be at the absolute top of his game, which we have seen him be down the stretch here. It's part of the reason why the Eagles were still playing yesterday. Nick was less than that in this game. Had a great first quarter, and it looked like he really had the magic rolling again. After that, the Saints defense tightened it up, and Nick struggled the rest of the way. I mean, as I said, after the first interception allowed him, where he's 10 for 22 the rest of the way, and over the last three quarters, they couldn't even get 100 yards of total offense. He had some open receivers that he missed. There were a couple throws that he underthrew and missed guys that could have made big plays. He was off his game. He was off his game. And you couldn't have that. He didn't play poorly. I wouldn't say that. But to win that game and to get the better of Drew Brees in that building in a postseason game, you had to be absolutely at your best. And Nick was not at his best yesterday.
It's going to be a conversation that many people throughout Philadelphia is going to have until there's a resolution. But what do you think is going to happen with the whole Foles-Wentz situation? What do you see for Nick's future?
I think you saw it yesterday in his post-game press conference. He basically, without saying the words goodbye, said goodbye to Philadelphia. I mean, he said all the right things about his time in the city and how much he loves Philadelphia and how much he loves the fans and how much he loved wearing that Eagles jersey. But it was all pretty much past tense. And I think he understands, like I think most of the fans understand, that there's no way, given his contract situation, that the Eagles are going to be able to keep him. I mean, I guess they could if they chose to part ways with Carson Wentz, but Doug Peterson and everybody in the organization has made it very clear that Carson Wentz is the future of this team, and he's not going anywhere. So assuming he's going to come back next year and be your starter, there's no way you can keep Nick as a backup at $20 million. So they'll move him. It's just a question of whether they let him walk as a free agent, or as what I think is more likely is they'll keep his rights and then trade him. And I would think that you look around the league, I mean, there are a lot of teams that are looking for quarterbacks right now, and there aren't too many guys on the open market that are a Super Bowl MVP. So I think come next September, Carson Wentz will be the quarterback in Philadelphia, and Nick Foles will be the quarterback somewhere else.
There's many other guys whose futures are certainly up in the air, but three stand out to me right now. Darren Sproles, Jason Peters, and Brandon Graham. Where do you see them being next year?
Well, Sproles has, Jason Peters has sort of put off all the questions about his future and said he's taking it game by game. I kind of think that this might be it for him. I mean, this was a tough year for him to get through, just physically. He could still play. And when he played well again. In the Bears game, I thought he played really well. But then yesterday's game was kind of typical of his season. I mean, he played well, but he couldn't play the whole way. By the end of the game, he was on the bench, and Halipuli Vaitai was in at left tackle. I mean, he's the oldest tackle in the league, and just physically, there's just not a whole lot more he can do. I think that my feeling is I think he's probably going to retire. Darren Sproles has opened up the possibility that, you know, maybe I'll come back next year. I don't know. I kind of think that Darren Sproles may call it a career, too, and what a great career it's been. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see him come back, but I think if you ask me, more likely than not, I would say he's probably going to retire. And Brandon Graham is not at that point in his career. Brandon's only 30, but he's now going to be a free agent, and the team has to make a decision about how much are they prepared to pay him, and given their salary cap, can they afford him? If I were to guess right now, I would say Brandon Graham is probably going to leave. The Eagles will probably let him explore the free agent market, and if he gets a better offer somewhere else, I think he'll probably go.
And assuming that's going to happen, his history with the Eagles fascinates me, right? Because he came in as a first-round pick. that some, I guess at the time, thought was kind of a stretch for where he was selected. He had injury issues early on in his career. He was always put up next to Jason Pierre-Paul and Earl Thomas, two guys who won Super Bowls early, who were picked after him, and he hadn't won anything until last year when he strip-sacked Brady in the Super Bowl and really put himself into legendary status in Eagles lore. Where do you rank that play amongst the great defensive plays in Eagles history?
Oh, right there. I mean, a few great plays in defensive plays in Eagles history. Right there. I would still probably say the greatest defensive play in history was the Chuck Bednarik tackle on Frank Gifford in 1960 that led the Eagles to winning the world championship in 1960. That's legendary for every possible reason. But this one is probably number two because it was the key play. The defense didn't make a whole lot of plays on either side in the Super Bowl. You look at the yardage totals, it'll tell you that. But that, if there was one defensive play, that was the defensive play. And, the Eagles probably wouldn't be Super Bowl champs if it wasn't for that. You know, look at Brandon Graham's career. Only three defensive linemen in the history of this franchise played more games than Brandon Graham. He played 127 games for the Eagles. Only three defensive linemen in team history have played more. So he had a great career here. Nine seasons and... Yes, there was a lot of controversy about him as a first-round draft pick. There are a lot of people that said they should have taken Earl Thomas. It's hard to argue with that. Earl Thomas has proven to be a great player. But Brandon Graham came here and played a long time and played very well. And as you said, made one of the two greatest defensive plays in team history. That's not... If he just played his last game as an Eagle, that's not a bad legacy.
No, certainly not. I got one more for you, Ray, and I'm so happy that this poll question was brought up last night at the postgame show because it leads into a question I've been meaning to ask you for weeks. Last night they asked on the postgame show, was the Eagle season a success, yes or no? And I think you might have been the only one of the panel, Barrett Brooks, Seth Joyner, Michael, and Governor Rendell, that said no, it wasn't a success because they didn't win the division. They're the defending Super Bowl champions. It was very helter-skelter type of season. So I got this follow-up question for you then, Ray. Did the Eagles overachieve this year or underachieve based on how everything turned out?
Well, actually, it was sort of the other way around. All those other guys said the season was a success. I was the one guy that said no.
Right.
To me, when you're the defending Super Bowl champion and you play as poorly as this team played for about half the season, I look at it in toto. I just look at it as a whole. And I think that they should have won the division. I still don't think it's a good division. And they didn't do that. I give them full credit for fighting back from 4-6 and getting in the playoffs and winning a gutsy game in Chicago and getting themselves back into the tournament. But I also look at the fact that I think they made it harder on themselves than they should have. They lost some games they should have won early. They lost to a bad Tampa Bay team. They lost twice to the Cowboys, which is how they lost the division.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's not success. I mean, I guess the alternative to success is failure, and I don't want to say the season was a failure, but I would say there's a third category, and this is what I would say, was a disappointment. For what you expected from this team, I thought that they did not play up to expectations. I thought they underachieved for most of the season. And even though I give them credit for having a lot of guts and playing tough down the end and getting in the playoffs, when I look back on it as a whole, as a defending Super Bowl champion, to me, it was disappointing.
Tremendous insight as always, Ray. I really enjoyed our conversations throughout the season. Thank you so much for coming on every week. And I look forward to them next year.
I do too. Thanks, David.
Thanks, Ray. Take care. Hall of Famer Ray Dittinger, WIP and NBC Sports, Philadelphia.